Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. That's why when it comes to hard work, nothing works harder than a Chevy Silverado. No wonder Chevy Silverado is the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Check out a new Silverado at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
The game is in the books, and the Light by Yuengling Chicago Blackhawks Radio postgame show is on the air on the Blackhawks Radio Network.
Welcome in to the Flight by Yuengling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show. I'm your host, Charlie Romeliotis. The Blackhawks fall to the Seattle Kraken 3-1. Hawks are still searching for that first win on this road trip. They fall to 0-2-1 on the first half of the trip. Hopefully the second half will bring different results. Let's head back over to Climate Pledge Arena and bring in our guy, Colin Frazier, to help us break down this game. Colin, the Hawks are 0-2 when you're calling games for us, so we know the common denominator here is.
That thought actually crossed my mind. I'm not going to lie to you. I better stay away.
We're sending you back home.
Gosh, that's a tough loss. I think the Seattle team, you know, heading into the season, whatever, the preseason projections, whatever you want to call them, and not making the playoffs last year. And you think it might be an easy one, or you think that certainly a winnable game, and you certainly approach all 82 games as winnable games. But they did a really good job of plugging it down and shutting it down and playing really sound defensively. It's maybe a little bit boring, a little bit old school, if you will, but it certainly works. And the Hawks had a really tough time. I know they had 30 shots on that. I get it, but getting quality shots and quality second and third shots was certainly a difficult night for them to get those created.
Well, it was interesting because the second period I felt like was by far the best period for the Blackhawks of the three. Even the shot attempts alone, it's 35-12 in favor of the Blackhawks in the second period. But in the most important column, the goal department, Seattle left that period up 2-0. So it's kind of this, it's like hockey at its finest. Like, you could be dominating play. I know a majority of those shot attempts came on the power play for Chicago, but it was still unfortunate that the Hawks came away from that period down two goals when it felt like it could have gone the other way for them.
Yeah, and it's the first goal, the first Seattle goal, arguably a lucky goal. It was kind of it comes up the right wing boards, and Oleksiak has a left shot, so he can't even step into the shot. He has to. It kind of comes across his body, and he just kind of shovels it, like sauces it at the net, and it becomes like a floating shot that kind of just went through traffic, and it might have hit Grzelcyk in front of the net. I couldn't really tell, but it snuck in there under Soderblom's glove. And then the second goal was just, it was actually a really nice goal where they win the faceoff on the left side and it goes low to high. They go D to D and then they hit Eberle low on the right side. Now, Eberle has a right shot. It looks like he's going to go behind the net and he kind of quickly spins and throws a blind, what I'd call a blind backhand pass, but he knew where he was passing it to because it went right on Beniers' tape and Beniers made no doubt about it. It was kind of like, those two plays, a lucky goal, but a really nice goal on the second one, and it's 2-0. So you can we can talk analytics all day, Charlie. You said it. All that mattered was the scoreboard, and they found a way to be up 2-0.
Feels like in all three of the games on this road trip, it's been one line that has really been the Achilles heel for the Blackhawks. Like the Winnipeg game, it was the Connor Scheifele Vilardi line. The last game, McDavid Draisaitl Bouchard, they're going to always do what they do on their power play. And then in this game, it felt like it was the Beniers Eberle combo that it's not like the other lines were dominating pace of play. It was really just the one line. And it feels like that's been the story in all three of these road games.
And all three of those lines are the top lines of all those teams,
right?
So those are your veterans. Those are your guys that have been around a long time. And specific to this game, Jordan Eberle, I mean, I played one year in Edmonton, and I played with Jordan Eberle in his rookie season, his first year in the league, and here he is, what, 35 years old now, and he can still, he made a great play and then scored the big goal. So he's their captain. He's their captain for a reason. He's a heck of a hockey player, and I think the Blackhawks just, we make excuses or whatever, but talk about how young they are, and that's just an example of being on the road. And all three games, the veteran star players on the other team have found a way to essentially beat the Blackhawks. It's not a you know, it's not like the whole team's beating them, or they're out of the game, or barely hanging on like it has been the last couple seasons. I mean, the Hawks could be arguably 3-0 on the trip, or 2-1, whatever you want to call it. But I don't know, a little humbling, I guess. Got to be ready in Vancouver, because it never gets easier. You look at the standings, top to bottom. I was doing this for fun, not that my wife cares, but I'm like, look at this. This is crazy, because it was it was 16 teams with 13 and 14 points. 16. So if you win a game, you can go from 25th to 10th place. Like, that's how tight it is, as crazy as it sounds. So every game, the point of it is every game is a hard game. There's no easy games in the NHL.
The Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet, he likes to keep a stat that on November 1st, it's like if you're within 4 points of a playoff spot, it's like you have a 6 out of 7 chance of making the playoffs, or it's like it's some sort of stat where it's like you really need to play. I mean, you bring up a great point. I'm looking at the Eastern Conference alone. The second wildcard spot has 14 points. The team that's in dead last, 13. So there's literally a 1 point difference between the second wildcard spot in the Eastern Conference and dead last in the East. I mean, the parity this year is incredible.
It really is, and it go like it really is. Like, every game is hard. Like, if you're not ready, you're not, it's hard to win. And but you're in every game, as crazy as that sounds. Like, so maybe this was the Hawks' best game they've ever had, but you're still in the game. You still, they make it 2-1. They have an opportunity to tie the game, and or they certainly got themselves back into the game and put that push on, and it just, whatever, he come up a little short. You know, Seattle does a good job locking it down late. Decor does a good job making his saves. He even tried to pad his own stats and score a goal. He was close too. Levshunov was all the way back there to knock it down, but it was a well placed shot by Decor.
You mentioned the three road games, or how we're talking about the top line of each of those teams that has been the Achilles heel for the Blackhawks. I wonder how much of this is where they really miss Jason Dickinson. I know they didn't have him tonight. He's really their true shutdown center. But even in the first game against Winnipeg, they didn't have Ilya Mikheyev. And so it feels like the Dickinson-Mikheyev duo is so good at checking the other team's top line. And I know on the road, you don't get the last change, so it's hard to dictate those matchups in these three games. And maybe that's also playing a role. But I wonder if they felt the presence missed of Dickinson in this game, and then parts of last game, and then Mikheyev in the Winnipeg game. Like, they haven't had that dynamic duo on their shutdown line for a few games now.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a really good point, because even in the Thursday game in Winnipeg, Dickinson left the game, right? So Mikheyev wasn't playing, Dickinson leaves, so you can't get those matchups. It is harder on the road, but it's not non-existent. Like, you can still make it happen. You got to be on your toes a little bit more, but it takes those hard minutes away from, you know, maybe the Bedards and the Barakovskis of the world too, right, where they can play, you know, maybe against a second or a third liner, or you can sneak them out there against a weaker matchup too, so they don't have to have that pressure or responsibility of having to play against the Scheiflies or the McDavids or tonight the Eberleys. I think it's the depth part. And then Dickinson and Mikheyev both being veteran guys helps. So, you know, now you're leaning on whether it's Moore or Ryan Green or even Frankie Nazar. As good as they are and as much as we love them, it's a big ask to play against those older, stronger, very experienced players. And, you know, in the next breath, that's how you learn. So we talked about it Thursday, Charlie, on the post game, about learning from those guys. That night it was the Scheiflies and the Connors. But, you know, that's how you get better. It's, of course, we want to win every game. I want the Blackhawks to win the Stanley Cup, right? But there's taking baby steps, and they're certainly getting better. And now let's learn from these losses and these road trips and these hard games and try to be those top players.
Let's get to a positive. We were talking in the pregame show about the first line of Ryan Green, Connor Bedard, Andrei Burakovsky, how effective that trio has been since they joined together, since Ryan Green jumped up on that top line in the Ottawa game. And in this game, I thought they might have been one of the best lines going for the Blackhawks. Looking at some of the numbers here, they generated, that trio at even strength generated 11 scoring chances. So, I mean, what is it about that trio? We mentioned in the pregame show, Ryan Green has just added a different element to it, but it feels like it has elevated Burakovsky's game too, for some, like, all three of those lines are really going right now.
He does a really Burakovsky does a really good job of holding on to pucks. So he's kind of calm under pressure. He doesn't throw pucks away. He doesn't throw them blindly. He kind of creates some time and space. And he seems to be playing with a lot of confidence right now, playing on a top line, playing with Connor Bedard. He gets lots of touches. They seem to work well together and play off each other well. And Ryan Green, to me, too, he's not going to – we talked about it pregame. He's not going to make something out of nothing, but he makes smart plays, and he can get those two guys the puck. So there's one in particular in the third period. He got it on the wall in the neutral zone, kind of right in front of the penalty boxes. And most guys would, you know, kind of soft chip it or rim it or kind of get rid of it. He had a little bit of pressure, but he held it for an extra second and then was able to hit Burakovsky wide on the other side. I'm not saying they scored off the play. It's not where I'm getting at, but the idea of him to be able to make plays with two really good players allows them to play in the O-zone and allows them to create offensive chances and then eventually getting on the scoreboard for the only Hawks goal.
With Burakovsky, I mean, I feel like he's brought a different element, like you mentioned, but he's faster than I thought, too, for a big guy. He's 6'3", 203. I mean, he can skate really well, too. He's not just this power forward that goes to the dirty areas and makes these nice plays in tight. He can really skate, and I feel like that's partly why the Hawks put him on the first power play unit to help with the zone entries with Connor Bedard. And it feels like ever since he got put on that first unit as well, it's carried over into his 5-on-5 game, but it feels like the power play has had a little bit of success, at least just generating some chances, because the power play, it had a hard time getting into the zone, but ever since Burakovsky got put on that top unit, it feels like they're entering the zone cleaner than they used to.
Yeah, he's a big body. He's got good hands. And then the identity of the Blackhawks is to play with speed and playing fast. And we've talked about how Connor got faster over the summer, and that's fact. Like with the speed measurements that they have, we know that. So he's playing faster, and if your speed identity, you have to play faster. So you know, I'm assuming Jeff Blashill's not in there telling Burakovsky to slow it down. He's telling him to speed it up. Like, that's what we want to do. So yeah, he's been a nice fit for what I'd call almost a cast off from Seattle, in the sense they it was Joey Valeno, right?
Yeah, they just dumped him one for one.
Well, it was one for one. Yeah,
yeah, it was one
I was
for
reading
one.
And I'm, did I miss something on this? Like, I was kind of like, there had to be more. And so let's call it a salary dump or whatever you want to call it. And he's been really good for the Blackhawks, playing on that top line and giving Bedard some skill to play with. Yeah, I mean, he's done a good job. He's had good numbers traditionally through his career, pretty consistently. So, you know, hopefully we can keep it going.
Kyle Davidson needs a lot of credit, because he acquired Ilya Mikheyev, Jason Dickinson, and Andre Burakovsky. All three of those were essentially salary dumps for their teams, and all three of those guys have turned into very important players on the Blackhawks. So it's not just the Hawks getting additional draft picks. I mean, they've turned these three players into top nine, very respectable, important players for Chicago.
Yeah, it's weird how it goes. Like, a guy gets a change of scenery and kind of, I don't know, redefines himself, or maybe it's a wake-up call or whatever you want to call it. But Kyle is very, very smart, and he's very calm demeanor, right? So he's not a guy, he's very thoughtful. He's not a guy that's just pulling the trigger to pull the trigger because he's mad or angry or upset or whatever the case may be. He's there's a plan, and since he's taken over, I think he's obviously talked about that plan and told the fans and everybody what that plan is, and he's executed that plan so far, as executing that plan. You know, and along the way, we talk about building through the draft, and that's obvious what's happening here, but go back to even the glory days of the Blackhawks, when they're picking up players like Andrew Ladd was via trade, Patrick Sharp was via trade. Mm-hmm. They're not, you know, Marian Hossa is free agency. Like, it's not all gonna, Brian Campbell is free agency. It's not all gonna be through the draft. Like,
right.
You're gonna have to find players that fit your style and fit your mold. But the fact that he found those guys for, I want to say, a bag of pucks.
Like, it's like, yeah, we could say it.
And right, and got draft picks off of it too. Like, it's Yeah, he's just he's very smart, and he knows what he's doing, and he does things very thoughtfully and methodically. And yeah, Mikheyev feels like a steal too, right? So yeah, we're happy to have them. We need them. They're contributing very well, and we're happy to have them because you want to build through the draft. You want your young guys to play. You want them to come up, but it's very important to have older players that kind of show them the way too. They have to learn and have to learn how to play the right way, and it's 82 game season. It's not junior hockey anymore. So day in, day out. So I think those guys provide that little bit of stability while the young guys can still play quality minutes.
You mentioned the Hawks building primarily through the draft, and we got a first glimpse of the season for Oliver Moore, made a season debut tonight in Seattle. He was supposed to play in the Rockford game last night, but ends up getting the tap on the shoulder while he was putting his skates on to go out for pregame warmups. And Nick Anderson pulled him in and said, no, you're not going out there. You've got to hop in a flight to Seattle right now. Oliver said he didn't get much sleep last night, but he said, "I'll not to worry. I'll have some energy." And it feels like he brought that, particularly in the first period. I think he had 4 shot attempts, 2 shots on goal. What did you think of Oliver in his season debut?
Yeah, I thought he's excellent, and I agree with you. I thought he's particularly good in the first period. Really using his speed, really using his energy. He has this ability to create havoc without being a physical player, but he's a hard player. And what I mean by that is he's not going to run you into the third row, but he's going to be hard to play against, where he's going to win his puck battles, and he's going to create havoc, and he's going to pressure you with his speed. He almost scored. He had a really nice opportunity in the first period where the rebound came right to him to DeCord's left, just in tight. He was a little bit in tight and couldn't get it up high enough over DeCord, but he's going to be in and around the net, and he's going to work really hard both ways. Going back to his draft year, we as a staff, scouting staff, really were really high on him, and a lot of it was because of his speed, but we also thought he had more offense than maybe other scouts or other teams were giving him credit for. And I think he's shown that in Rockford with 6 goals in 9 games so far, and not just scoring goals from in the blue paint, like scoring, you know, off the rush with some snapshots, like some real hockey goals, if that makes sense. So and then Jeff Blashill played him 16 minutes and 30 seconds tonight, so that tells me that he likes him. You know, the game was a tight game. He's not just giving them minutes to give them minutes. I mean, they're trying to win hockey games. And, you know, a coach is going to put on the best players that he thinks can help him win. So he obviously trusted him and liked his game, too. It's evident by playing 16 minutes. You know, as I tell my son, you don't need a coach to tell you that you're playing great. You know you're playing great by how much they're throwing you over the boards. And if they're throwing you over for 16 and a half minutes, that tells me that you've done a good job and to keep going.
And all 16 of those minutes tonight were at even strength. He didn't see any power play or shorthanded time, and that is certainly going to change moving forward, because he's a guy that's likely going to be a threat on the penalty kill just because of his speed. And also, I wouldn't be surprised if they slowly start to integrate him into power play time. So he could be flirting, you know, in the 20 minute range. Maybe that's aggressive, but like in the 18 ish minute range, once he rounds out his game and becomes a, you know, a complete player.
Yeah, with the 11 forward setup, they must have, I think they did add him a couple times at the bottom there, and then
yep.
He'll definitely kill penalties. Absolutely, with that speed, you're going to kill penalties, and then probably see how it goes from there. I don't think the second unit got much time. The first unit did a really good job tonight of moving it around. They seem to have lots of zone time, but they're unable to heavily create lots of grade A opportunities. But you know, looking at the power play time, Bedard and Frankie Nazar playing over 5 minutes, and then really no one else, just maybe a minute for Ryan Donato. So point is that number one unit's going to eat up 80% of that power play regardless, and then probably see how everyone's playing from there for unit two.
Right. All right, back with us on Wednesday in Vancouver?
Back Wednesday, yeah. I'm gonna do a pit stop in Spokane, watching some WHL junior hockey for the draft, because we need to find some more of these guys, Charlie.
That's right. Can't stop
now that we've been rolling along.
Keep pumping them out.
Keep finding assets and good players that can help the Blackhawks of the future. And then I'm gonna go from Spokane to Vancouver on Wednesday.
I love it. Well, the city of Chicago thanks you for your service, both as a scout and for chipping in on the broadcast tonight, for providing insight, great insight as always. And thanks again for hanging with me on this postgame show. It's midnight here in Chicago, so you're really keeping me company as we go to 12:30 tonight. So thank you for your service, but also for keeping me company tonight.
Hey, it's a good time. You make it easy, Charlie. Thanks for hanging out with me. I appreciate it.
I love it. All right, good stuff, Colin.
Have a good night.
All right, that is Colin Frazier from Climate Pledge Arena. The Blackhawks fall to the Seattle Kraken 3-1. They fall to 0-2-1 on this road trip. Hopefully the second half of the road trip will bring some better things. We have sound that has come in from the Blackhawks locker room that we will air on the other side when the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show rolls on after this on 720 WGN.
Dunn will fire from the left point, stopped in front. A rebound shot by Kako from the bottom of the left circle, and Soderblom got the shoulder on that. Here's Bedard flipping the puck into the Kraken zone. Put it down the slot. Burakovsky shoots. He scores! And his return to Seattle. Andre Burakovsky beats his old teammate Joey Decord with a shot low to the stick side. And the Hawks are on the board, trailing 2-1 with 8:27 left in period number three.
Back here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show, Flight is the next generation of light beer. That was Andre Burakovsky scoring the lone goal for the Blackhawks in this game. He extended his goal streak to 3 games and his point streak to 4 games. He now has 6 points over that 4-game stretch. Goals in 3 straight. He came into this game on pace for 29 goals, 37 assists for 66 points. His previous career high in goals are 22 and points are 61. I should say his current career high. But if he broke that pace, so his goals is 22 points, 61. So he's off to a fantastic start to the season for the Blackhawks, really ever since Ryan Green got put on that line together, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But let's hear what Burakovsky had to say after returning to his old stomping grounds in Seattle.
Bit of a rocky start, but it seemed like a pretty good game from there. What are you making this one?
I think we got to. I think the last couple of games we come out a little slow, kind of trying to see how they're playing, how to kind of react after how they are starting and how they're playing. And I think we're way too good of a team to do that. We need to take command and set the tone ourselves. We can't come out and have slow starts. It's the bottom line.
What's not clicking with the power play this last handful of games?
What's not been working?
Yeah. I think it's like 3 of 21 or something like that over the last night.
Score a lot, you know, right?
Yeah.
I think the power play is working. Sometimes they go in, sometimes they don't. They did a really good job of blocking shots. We got a lot of looks, and sometimes they go in and sometimes they don't. I think 3 games ago we had one power play we scored against Edmonton. We, I don't know how many we had, two, and we scored. And the power play, I think it's no issues with the power play. We sometimes they go in. You can score them every single time you have a power play. So we're gonna keep working on it, and we just need to get pucks in net. That's same there, bottom line. That's it.
You mentioned that they blocked a lot of shots, and it seemed like also a good number missed. Was it just kind of, you had a lot of possession but weren't able to get them on net for the most part?
I mean, when they're coming out and facing the puck, you have very small, you don't have much to shoot on. You got to pick your corners and stuff like that. So, I mean, they're not always going to be exactly where you want. We're trying, but they did, the bottom line, they did a good job coming out in the lanes. And credit to them.
It's a heck of an effort by Connor on your goal. What do you see him working on the sideline there?
Yeah, no, like you said, it was a heck of an effort. And he was fighting for the puck and did everything for me. So credit to him.
For you coming back here, what was it like?
I want to win. That's it. I mean, this isn't just another game for me. I mean, I don't care really who I'm playing against. I want to win, and we didn't today. So that's it.
All right, that was Blackhawks forward Andrei Burakovsky. He seems frustrated after this one, returning to his old stomping grounds where he spent the last 3 years in Seattle. He scored a goal in three straight, but unfortunately the Hawks have not been able to pick up victories in those games that he has scored. So I'm sure he's a little frustrated. I don't blame him about with the power play question. I know the Hawks went 0-for-3 on the man advantage, but boy, they sure did generate some chances, especially in that second period. The Hawks, in their three power plays in this game, they generated 14 shot attempts, 4 shots on goal, 6 scoring chances, and 3 high-quality scoring chances. So they were zipping it around, getting sustained offensive zone time, but they just could not break through finding the back of the net. They were zipping it around cleanly, getting pucks towards the net, but they had a hard time cracking Joey Decord, who I thought was excellent in this game. And historically, he has been really good against Chicago. So it didn't go the Blackhawks' way on the power play, but I don't know if this is a game. Maybe you could say the first power play that they didn't generate much, but they had got, I think it was the first, I wrote on my notes, the first power play, they had good offensive zone time, possession time, but they didn't get any pucks to the net. So I think that's easily correctable. And so I thought the other two power plays were strong for Chicago. They just unfortunately did not break through. So no concern there. Burakovsky seems like the power play is trending in the right direction, so it doesn't seem like he is overly alarmed by the lack of power play goals in this game specifically. How about Oliver Moore? So he gets called up. Technically, he got called up this morning, but he got the call yesterday. Ends up traveling to Seattle, doesn't get much sleep, then gets thrown into the lineup, participates in morning skate, but it was an optional morning skate, so the Hawks didn't do their normal line rushes. So he gets thrown in there on a line with Ryan Donato and Ilya Mikheyev. He played the left wing, where he has been playing in Rockford all season long, on a line with Brett Cini and Nick Lardis. I thought he was really noticeable early on in this game. Let's hear what Oliver had to say about this loss and how he performed in his season debut.
I know it comes in a loss, but how do you evaluate your game today?
I thought it started good. We thought we were getting a lot of chances. And we're just trying to find a way to impact the game. Obviously didn't do that enough. So, it's a tough loss, but we'll learn from it.
How do you assess the team game?
Yeah, I mean, I think, I just heard Berkey saying, I feel like we got to come out and dictate, and that's the big thing in this league. I feel like if you start behind, it's hard to come back, especially they're a team that I feel 5-on-5, they don't give up much, they don't do a ton, so, we had to try to find a way to put one in and couldn't do that, so.
You feel like your speed and work ethic was having the effect that you wanted it to?
Yeah, I felt that for sure. I felt like I was hard on pucks. It's kind of hard right now, just right after the game, to evaluate it. I was just trying to play. It's a tough loss for sure.
Crazy 24 hours for you. Going to sleep hard tonight?
I don't know. I usually sleep great after losses, so we'll see.
All right, that was Blackhawks forward Oliver Moore talking about this loss and his performance. Let's get to tonight's Ice Times, sponsored by Rogers and Hollins, the most trusted jewelry store in America for more than 115 years. And let's stick with Oliver Moore really quick. I'm looking at the ice time. So he logged 16 minutes and 29 seconds of ice time. Every single one of those seconds came at even strength. And that was the second most among Blackhawks forwards at even strength. Only Connor Bedard had a higher even strength minutes played at 17:53. So they really utilized him a lot. He actually, if you're looking at the shift numbers specifically, Oliver Moore took 23 shifts. Connor Bedard took 22. So Moore took one more shift than Bedard. And so I think they were trying to utilize Moore in that extra forward spot on the fourth line, where when you're running 11-7, there's a gaping hole, and Oliver Moore ended up getting some of those shifts. Connor Bedard, though, led the way as a whole for the Blackhawks at 23-12. I'm looking here at the ice time. Connor Murphy only finished with 8 minutes and 30 seconds of ice time. So I know his ice time had been trending in the wrong direction. He only took 3 shifts in the third period, but it looks like they came sporadically. Like he took one later in the third period with 6 minutes and 33 seconds left. So I just want to make sure that he didn't leave with an injury that I maybe missed. So I don't know. Maybe it's just situational. I know when the Hawks got into the third period, they really leaned more heavily on their puck moving defensemen like Artem Levchinov and Sam Renzel got higher ice time in the third period. So that's probably why Murphy didn't see much ice time in the third period. The Hawks were pressing offensively and needed to double up on their offensive defenseman. But yeah, that, I can't remember seeing Murphy's ice time that low in a game in a really long time. So we'll see if that probably fluctuates over time here. It looks like Jeff Blashill has come in. So let's do a quick break here and we'll see what the Blackhawks head coach had to say on the other side when the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio post game show moves along after this on 720 WGN. Back here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show, the Blackhawks fall to the Seattle Kraken 3-1. The final numbers here in this game: shot attempts 65-46 in favor of Chicago, shots on goal 30-24 in favor of Chicago. The Blackhawks also led 35-12 in the scoring chances department and high danger 17-14. But unfortunately, in the most important column, the Hawks fell in the goal column 3-1. Let's hear what Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill had to say after this loss to Seattle.
How do you assess that?
I would say we have better in us than we played. But that said, we certainly, I think the chances are going to come out even or will have outchanced them. But to me, that's disappointing. I just think we have better in us as a group as a whole. I think maybe some guys didn't have great nights and just, it's an everyday league and we just got to make sure we're coming every night, every single night.
It seemed like there was a lot of puck possession, but just not a lot of crisp execution or getting pucks on net that much.
Yeah, I don't know. What did we finish with, 28 shots? I mean, it's not awesome, but it's not nothing. It's not 15. They do a good job defensively. They block a lot of shots. We find a way to get kind of stick on puck, defensively a lot too. And both teams are kind of clogging that up. It makes it hard. So these games are hard, man. There's not gonna be a lot of free flowing, and you got to really earn your offense. And sometimes you need some ugly ones, and probably just didn't get enough white pucks through. I did think we had a couple times where, we had some looks, especially in the second there, where I really thought we got going and just didn't find its way to the net.
Yeah, the first period seemed like you were struggling a bit, scoreless, and the second period you're playing well, then you're down 2-0.
Yeah, just hockey? That's hockey for sure. We're definitely better in the second than the first. We weren't good enough early in the first. Almost felt like we had yesterday off, which we didn't, obviously. Because I thought we were slow in the first. The second, we were pushed hard. One goal, it's kind of a little bit of little fluky, right? The PK goal, we just make a big mistake, and it's in our net. We kind of chase pressure there. We can't chase pressure.
Seemed like Frank had kind of a tough game. What's your message to him?
I think that's just the reality of, how many games has Frank played in the league, and it's, I know he hasn't played a full season yet, and so there's a lot of burden on his shoulders for a guy that hasn't played a lot, and so I think for us to expect him to be on top of his game every single night is probably not realistic. I think it's the same with, a lot of our guys. There's going to be ups and downs, and we just got to collectively make sure we have more ups than downs, and I thought tonight, it was two spreads throughout the team that we probably just had enough guys that didn't have their A game.
You said Moore would be confident. He looked confident out there. He was aggressive.
He did look confident. He did. I thought he made some stuff happen. He made a great pass to Donald. We just didn't connect. That would be a big time scoring chance. Played with energy. Overall, I thought he did a really good job. Now the challenge for him is what I just talked about, Frankie. It's an every night league, and so, he'll have to come back and play a really good game in Vancouver and just keep building on it. But it was a good first step for sure.
Bedard seems like he's just reaching another level. That play he made on the Burakovsky goal was something.
Yeah, he's the thing I'd say about Connor is his compete every single day is outstanding. And, you know, I can't think of a game where he hasn't kind of been on his game, to be honest with you. That doesn't mean it always looks great. Doesn't mean it always goes his way. His compete's been outstanding. So he's, you know, I asked him at the beginning of the year, as one of the better players on the team, to be a great leader, in terms of playing winning hockey. He's done that consistently.
All right, that was Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill talking about this loss. Said not enough players were on their A game, which I agree with. And I'm not trying to make excuses, but I was trying to pull up the schedule here really quick. And the Hawks have been on the ice for five consecutive days. And even on the one off day that they did have, which was last Wednesday, that was the day that they traveled to Winnipeg. And prior to that, the Hawks Hawks had a game and a morning skate against Ottawa. They also practiced on that Monday, also had a game on the Sunday, practice on Saturday. So the Hawks have had one off day in a week and a half almost, and the one off day was them traveling to Winnipeg. And so I wonder how much of it is a product of maybe just a very much needed off day tomorrow in Vancouver. I don't know what the numbers are on this, but it feels like the Hawks have been much better when they have fresh legs, like when there's no practice the day before. I remember even in training camp, like Jeff Blashill, like really, he put the Blackhawks through the ringer in training camp. And I remember when they had the off day, they were so much better in the very next preseason game because they almost had a chance to just collect themselves. So that probably also has played a role. Last thing I want to say, so the Hawks have now given up the first goal in the game in three straight games after scoring the first goal in eight of the first 10 games. Now, in the games that they score first, the Hawks are 5-2-1. And in the games that the Blackhawks give up the first goal, they're 0-3-2. So that's a massive trend right there. The Hawks, it feels like they're a different team when they score the first goal. You could probably look at the records, and a majority of the NHL teams are going to have a significantly better record, of course, when they score the first goal. But the Hawks have not won a single game yet when they give up that first goal. So it's going to be paramount when the Hawks go into Vancouver to try to get that first one, to just loosen things up and make sure that they're playing on their toes and not their heels, or feeling like they're playing catch up for the rest of the game. We got one more break to get to, and then we will wrap up the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show after this on 720 WGN. Back here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show, Flight is the next generation of light beer. It's time now for a prospect update. Let's check in on our next generation of players, sponsored by Flight by Yingling, the next generation of light beer. And we head back over to Russia and provide a Roman Kantsarov update. Second round pick in 2023 for the Blackhawks, found the back of the net yet again for his KHL team. He's now up to 22 points in 22 games, so he's averaging a point per game, and his 14 goals leads all KHL players. Also has 8 assists there, so he is currently on pace for 68 points in 68 games, which is obviously a point per game pace. 43 goals and 25 assists is his pace. Last year, he had 38 points, 13 goals, 25 assists in 47 games. So this would be a significant leap in production for Roman Kantsarov. I think he did an interview with a KHL or a Russian outlet, and it sounded like he's planning to come to North America next season, which I think should come as no surprise. But boy, that's another prospect to get excited about if you're Chicago. All right, time now for our next game preview, sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. The Hawks are going to be in Vancouver on Wednesday night at Rogers Arena. It's another late puck drop, 9 o'clock. Much needed off day for the Blackhawks, so I'm expecting them to come with some fresh legs in that game. The Vancouver Canucks defeated the Nashville Predators in overtime 5-4 earlier today. Four of their 7 wins now this season for Vancouver have been in overtime or a shootout. So they're having a hard time getting regulation wins. So if you're the Blackhawks, make sure you take advantage. The big storyline, though, going into this game is going to be Lucas Reichel facing his former team. Reichel was held off the score sheet again tonight. He is still searching for his first point as a Vancouver Canuck. He has 0 points in 6 games, but I imagine
he's going to come out with some jump on Wednesday night. Maybe he'll meet up with some of his old teammates tomorrow night in Vancouver. But yeah, Lucas Reichel, first time that we get to see him in a Canucks sweater. So we'll see you then.